welcome to the two-part pre-launch webinar series. Today is audio webinar one, Language Learning Myths and Mistakes. I'm your host, and my name is Anna. You will find out more about who I am throughout the two webinars. We have two main goals for today. The first one is to talk about myths about foreign language learning, what is preventing you from being successful at learning a language, and how to measure your language health wellness. The second goal is for me to tell you more about the course launch, how I design courses, what's different about it from any other course you've taken, and how you can register. So let's begin. Initially, I planned for these webinars to be delivered via video in real time, but sometimes things get in the way. I hope you enjoyed this audio format, and maybe it will work even better. We'll see. Without further ado, let's begin. If I were to ask you, are you a good decision maker? Do you think that most of your decisions are rational? Most of you would answer yes. You would have your flaws here and there, probably when it comes to relationships or past relationships. But overall, I think most people consider themselves to be, you know, a rational, good decision maker. Decades of research has shown that we humans are actually pretty irrational in our decision making. And a lot of our decisions are based on emotion. We can go wrong at every turn. And, you know, honestly, when it comes to it, we're not really good at figuring out what we want and our preferences and perspective changes all the time. Now, you might be thinking, all right, Anna, why are you talking to me about this? Well, this relates to your language learning as well. Keeping this in mind, let's talk about the three top myths I hear all the time about foreign language learning and why these are myths. So the first one, adults cannot acquire foreign language as easily as children. It is just not true. I have worked with various students in various conditions and under certain circumstances, which have shown that adults can actually learn the language faster than a child because we have prior knowledge, prior world experience. We already acquired one language, your native language. You, even though you might not understand that, you have a system in your head for how words and grammar and pronunciation, how all these things are combined together to form meaningful sentences. And what adults are capable of, what I've seen, is in a matter of months of dedicated language study. I'm talking about like when this is your full-time job, all you do is just learn a language from morning till night. It's in a matter of months they're able to start speaking in the foreign language, exchanging ideas on a very high level, even about topics like, you know, the environment, pollution, etc., things that a child would not be able to do just because they're not at that level of development yet. So this is false, and it is definitely a myth. Adults are actually better equipped to acquire foreign language. The second myth is that adults should learn language just like children. Once again, if you think back to my first example, there are some maybe moments where it's good to be like a child. For example, if we're not so serious about ourselves, if we're not so hung up on making mistakes and feeling bad about it, like kids, you know, they repeat things over and over again. They can say the same word 100 of times. They can ask you the same question millions of times, and that doesn't bother them. But to us adults, that bothers us. We don't feel good about that. My students, for some reason, from my experience, feel that if I tell them a new word or a new concept, that they should just be like, got it, Anna. Okay, I'm able to use it, but that's not how it works. And I recognize that. So in that matter, it would be great if we looked at some of the behaviors that children have that make them psychologically just better at learning a language in the sense that they're accepting and they don't care about the fact that they don't know everything, that they have to say things 100 times to remember, like it doesn't bother them. But in terms of should we learn a language like children? Absolutely not, because we are not children, we're adults. And like I said, you already have so many life experiences. You have learned at least one language, which is your native language. And you can take all of that, you can take all of that background and use it to your advantage versus being thrown like a little child into an environment where you don't understand anything and having to listen for years to a language that is around you. And even that, I don't know if that would lead to successful language learning. So that is why adults do not learn languages like children. That is why we actually look at grammar, right? And we look at the way the language is structured, you're asked questions. There's a reason why this is different than just like a little kid being put into the country and saying, okay, now live here and learn the language. We can actually pick up the language much quicker than children, going back to myth number one. And the last but not least is myth number three. So when learning a foreign language, avoid using your first language. You probably have heard about this, that you shouldn't use your first language. You should just entirely be immersed into the target language. It's going to help you, etc. But this is actually not true. Going back to my point, as an adult, if I can explain to you through a language that you understand, like what this concept is, why wouldn't I do that to give you that shortcut so you can think about it, understand it, and apply it right away? So let's take Russian, for example. If I were to give you a text and you have never seen the Russian alphabet, the Cyrillic alphabet before, and I'm just like, here's the text, listen and figure out yourself what each sound is and figure out yourself what the reading rules are. Would you be able to do it? Probably, right? If you listen to the text maybe 20, 30 times and underlined and listen to each word, how it's pronounced, and try to connect the letter to the sound and etc. Probably eventually you would get it. Maybe there would be some parts you would still have questions about that you couldn't figure out. But it would become, you know, it would become basically a puzzle for you. So why wouldn't I just say, hey, guess what? This letter, even though it looks different, it's very similar to the sound you already know. In your head, that's a quick shortcut. You already know that sound or a sound that is similar. Or I can tell you how to make that sound by what your tongue placement should be, what your how should you breathe, or what should your vocal cords vibrate or not. Like, I can give you those shortcuts, and in a matter of seconds, you're going to know how to produce that sound. My hope is that having listened to these myths and my explanations, maybe even if you believed in one of them, maybe you will start thinking that maybe your beliefs were not based on fact, but they were based on other thought processes that I will talk about next. And my hope is that you will begin to transform the way you think about learning language. So now let's talk about why your thoughts about what it takes to learning a language can work against you or can actually prevent you from becoming fluent in a language. I also do language learning consultations, and one of the things that people often come to me for is because they're stuck. They're not making progress. They've been on the same stage of either the alphabet or basic language, and they just can't seem to move forward. And most of the time, it has nothing to do with their ability. It has a lot to do with the way they think about what it takes to get to that next level of learning a language. And that's where my work begins, as we try to break down their beliefs and their current way of doing things and trying to see what needs to be changed in order to get to that other level. So when it comes to studying a foreign language, beginning well is crucial. And it doesn't start on the first day of class or on your first arrival to a country. This point starts with your decision to study the language. And that decision can be faulty, because if you do not do it right, at some point you're going to question your ability to learn a language. It's not going to be as easy. It's not going to be as fun as you imagined. For most people, they're not going to be as successful at learning a language as they thought when they imagined themselves ordering drinks on the beach in Mexico in Spanish, or traveling to Japan and just having casual conversations with their friends, or even, you know, watching anime movies, or reading Russian classics in the original. It's not going to be, you're not going to get there. You're going to realize in the very beginning, very quickly, that it's really hard, that it's a big struggle, that it takes time, and it takes consistency and dedication. And so this disappointment that you might experience is the result of that decision-making process, that in the beginning you were not realistic about what it takes to succeed in a foreign language, or maybe not even realistic about what success looks like in a foreign language. That's why it's so important, and I work with my students all the time to set realistic goals for ourselves. And as we progress throughout the courses that I teach, I always tell my students where they are at and my expectation for where they should be at. Because as adults, we often overestimate how quickly we're supposed to pick up the language. And it's very difficult for us to objectively judge ourselves and to understand how much progress we have made. If I'm saying this and you're recognizing yourself that, you know, at this point you might be a little too optimistic about what it takes to become fluent in language, it's not too late to change. And that's why I'm here to talk to you about this and to talk to you about how you can change it, how you can, one, understand that this is happening, understand your thought process, and how you can transform it to become successful, to become fluent in a language. This idea of starting off right is actually why I think it's so important in the very beginning to work with another person, a tutor, a teacher, to take a course, a good course, in a language that will introduce you to the language, that will help you develop a routine, and that will help you understand maybe the basic system of the language in terms of just sounds, to receive feedback from a native speaker about your progress. I can do a whole webinar just on how important feedback is to language learning. And that's why I actually started to develop these courses. And I tell my students all the time that the first ones are super important. Your introduction to the language, your Russian for beginners, your French for beginners, your Japanese for beginners, that first introduction is so crucial to your success, to your view of yourself in that language, to understanding what it takes to learn the language. All of that we take into consideration when we're building out these courses, to make sure that they are fun, to make sure that we're not just loading you with grammar. And I actually avoid grammar terms in all of my courses for the most part. I'm more focused on giving you patterns, providing you with examples of how the language is used, and where needed, yes, of course, we're going to look at verb conjugations, because that would be silly not to do that. But for the most part, it's more focusing on communication, on language patterns, on pronunciation. I have come to, through practicing, through trying out different things, is that you need group lessons in order to be successful. I try to offer courses, like different packages, where to give students an opportunity to go in at a very low price just so they could get access to the content. But what ended up happening is these students, they do not last through more than one course. So even though I was there to provide feedback on their homework, we would communicate via audio, they were still not able to keep up. The students that are able to develop these habits, that are able to continue month after month, are the students that are engaged in actual group lessons. And the reason why I don't offer any individual instruction is because I've already seen the benefits of working in a group. You get to see that other people are struggling just as you are struggling. You get to see that other students have the same questions as you do. You get to learn from each other. Your classmates are at a language level that are similar to yours, so you can understand most of the things they say. And when they use a new word or a new phrase, it's very easy for you to catch on to that versus when you speak to a native speaker and, like, in the beginning, 99% of what they're saying is unfamiliar. So I already know that small groups, learning in small groups is the best approach with actual lessons. And so in this launch, I've taken out all of the previous packages I had, and the only way you can actually enroll in a course is through either the light or the basic option. Both of them include group lessons, both of those include feedback on assignments, etc. And I think for Japanese and French, there's actually no options, it's just one option. You get to work on the materials that we've built out on the website, you get feedback for all of the homework assignments, your teacher provides feedback on your pronunciation, etc. And then you practice after every module. You have a group lesson. And I often get a question about when these lessons are held. As you will see on the website, there is a schedule of approximate time. They're usually held on Sundays between 12 and 3 p.m. Eastern time. However, if all of the members of the group agree on a different time, most of the instructors and I myself, we're very flexible, and then we rearrange. There's also great flexibility in the course schedule. So for example, even though there is an approximate schedule, from my experience, if we've seen in the past that students are struggling with a topic or everybody's behind or there was a holiday, no one turned in their homework, we'll just extend and say, hey, we're going to move everything. You know, you have an extra week to work on it. This is definitely not a race. We're here for you to learn, to make progress. So let's take an extra week. And then we just move everything and we reschedule. But in terms of makeup lessons, that is not an option because we're moving together as a group. So if you miss a lesson, they're also not recorded. You just miss it and you come to the next one. Let's talk about how to measure and what is language health wellness. I think when it comes to regular healthy lifestyle, all of us know what that is. You need to exercise, you need to eat healthy. But what does language health wellness look like? Well, I want you to grab a sheet of paper and number it 1 to 7 and write down these 7 areas that we're going to assess. The first one is reading. And I'm going to explain each one so you have time to grab a piece of paper if you don't have one right next to you. By reading, I don't mean just reading sentences, but actually what we linguists call extensive reading. That is when you pick up a book, you pick up a text, or you look in your textbook for a text that is at your level, a text where you can comprehend most of the vocabulary, at least 80 to 90%, even more is better, and actually read it. If by reading, what you've been doing is looking up every word in Google Translate, to me, that's an indicator that you're reading things that are too difficult, that are above your level. So the first one is reading at your level, which is similar to the reading you do in your native language. When you're not focused on what every word means, you're focused on the meaning. Of course, as a beginner, you will experience an initial stage where everything is new to you. But I would say even after the first month or two, you should already be able to find texts that are simple enough for you to read. The second area is speaking. So are you actually practicing what you're learning? Are you speaking to native speakers? Are you speaking to yourself? You don't always have a native speaker to speak to, so you could just speak aloud to yourself. But it has to be pure speaking, again, with the intention to communicate. If you're reciting poems, that is not speaking, right? That's just reciting, remembering. The third area is listening. So finding things in the target language to listen to. Once again, these can be, it's better if they're at your level, but in the beginning, it's also good to find fun things like shows that you might want to watch. So listening, watching to things in the target language is the third area. The next one is writing. So like I said, maybe journaling or writing. If you've learned another foreign language, you know that very often there are like short presentations you write. Those things where you sit down and you try to use the vocabulary you know and the grammar you know to write down a few sentences. Please notice this is not about putting into Google Translate an English paragraph and copying down what it gives you in Russian. This is about using what you know to write. It's also not about saying what you want, because in the beginning, for the first probably year, you're going to be at a point where you're not going to say everything you want. It's a process. And if you learn to try to focus on what you can say, even though it's not exactly expressing your thoughts, that will help you. Area number 5 is grammar. So are you practicing the grammar? Now, this one I find most students do, because it's very easy to build grammar type exercises, and those are abundant everywhere in the textbooks and various online resources. So that one I don't have a problem with, and you probably don't either. The next one is vocabulary. Are you focusing on actually mastering vocabulary? Are you doing flashcards? Are you doing writing out lists in your notebooks, etc.? So are you doing things to help yourself master the vocabulary? And last but not least is culture. Are you learning about the culture of the language? It is a very important part that is intertwined everywhere, and you need to learn as well. You need to read about the famous people, watch movies that are part of the culture, learn about the nuances, etc. So now that you have these 7 areas, I want you to assess yourself on a scale of 1 to 5. 5 being you regularly do something in that area, and 1 being you have not done anything in that area. So that's it for today. I look forward to sharing with you the second webinar, which will be next week. And if you have any questions in the meantime, feel free to send me an email. It's russianforamericans@gmail.com. Have a wonderful evening. Goodbye.